Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. In this program today on Campus FM for University Matters, we will be hearing about the Faculty of Arts from Professor Dominic Fenech, who's Dean of the Faculty. Welcome to you, Professor Fenech. This is going to be the opening program in a mini-series on Campus FM concerning the Faculty of Arts. The program aims to inform listeners about this, shall we call it, a variegated faculty, there's many departments. Perhaps, Professor Fenech, we can start off with a bit of a general intro, shall we say, a snapshot of the Faculty of Arts.
Thank you, Tricia, for this invitation. Well, the Faculty of Arts nowadays is one of the bigger faculties in the university. We are dealing with a student population altogether. All years, of course, of about 1,300 students. Just imagine, that's more than twice the university population of when I was a student, of the whole university population in those days. We have a yearly intake, let's say, of between 250 and 300 students. It's, as you say, very variegated. We have now no fewer than 16 departments within the faculty. These departments are more or less half and half, language departments and non-language departments. Non-language departments such as history, geography, sociology, and so on and so forth. We have quite a well-sized, let's say, staff complement. I would say we are approaching somewhere between 90 and 100 full-time members of staff, plus of course part-timers who supplement and enrich our courses. But we are, and I think this is one of our strong points institutionally. We are a full-time staff-based faculty. So our part-timers are there to enrich rather than the main core of our staff. If you do the arithmetic, you'll see that we have a very nice, very comfortable and comforting student-staff ratio. So I think that's one of the strengths, not just of our faculty, but especially of our faculty, that there is not the anonymity that one finds in bigger universities, perhaps certain bigger faculties. So all students have access to all staff. So it's quite a community, and it's also, I would like to think, a kind of intellectual hub within the university. Because a lot of our subjects are the kind of subjects which people write books about. But we don't deal with subjects which are tied to a profession or to a very very strict disciplinary limits. But of course, the humanities, because although we're called Faculty of Arts, in effect we deal with the humanities. The humanities have driven the world's intellect for ages and for centuries and centuries, and we deal in those. We peddle humanities.
In preparation for this mini-series, I have been talking to some of your members of staff, and this is one of the things that has come across repeatedly, that the heads of department talk about their departments as being places where people can question things, where the obvious is questioned and discussed. The humanities is the home of discussion and thought and trying to, shall we say, deconstruct things that people take for granted sometimes.
Well, yes, I mean, evidence of that is the fact that if you see the level of engagement of academics with public discourse, you know, participation in discussion programs on television, in serious programs now I'm talking about, contribution, opinion pieces in newspapers, this sort of engagement with the world, with what's happening, with ideas, with thoughts, you would see that we are very well represented in that public discussion.
Recently, you engaged a company, I presume, to create a tracer study of your graduates, your former students. And this has turned up some very interesting results, I gather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's say that man does not live by ideas alone. We have to have bread too. And of course, from the point of view of the student who comes to university and opts to choose a degree from the Faculty of Arts, that student wants to better her or his employment opportunities, their career chances, their chance of a good career. So we're not in the business of dreaming and talking and chattering without thinking also of the future of our students. If a couple of hundred, 200 or 300 students join us in one particular year, we would like to know that these students eventually will have a better life, including materially, than if they had not joined us in the first place. And we felt, as a faculty, that we owe it to our students, both present and future, to see in a scientific, in a concrete way, with proper empirical evidence, what's happening to our graduates. So we commissioned this tracer study, as you mentioned, which, as the title suggests, traces the students' progress after graduating, or traces graduates' progress. We took a sample of all our graduates in the past 10 years, and we had a very good response. As surveys go, close to 70%, if I recall.
That's nothing short of amazing, actually, yeah. As a response.
Yes, because we didn't want to have a small sample of people answering. So those who did not answer the email, we then somehow got their telephone numbers or phoned their parents or whoever until we could track them down, and we had telephone surveys for those who did not fill in the hard copy, the hard form. So we weren't sampling, really. We weren't taking a representative sample. We were going for all of them, and of course that's the most accurate. That gives you the most accurate results. And we were quite astonished with the. I mean, I myself had an idea that our graduates were placing themselves in jobs and so on. The reason why I had an idea already was because otherwise you'd have people knocking on your door and asking you for advice and telling you, my goodness, I graduated 2 years ago and I haven't got a job. But in effect, this was not happening, and we're very pleasantly surprised that we had a situation of effective full employment. Why do I say effective? In other words, it was the number of graduates who were not in a job when the survey was taken amounted to less than 6%, 5 point something, less than 6%. And when we saw those 6%, these were by and large students who had just graduated. The survey was taken in December, and this is December 2012, and graduations had taken place in November, so these students would have finished their studies in the previous summer. So, you know, it wasn't like they've been waiting a year or 2 years. So one has to assume that those people would have been by now absorbed in the in the labor market. What's more than that, the large majority of those who answered were happy in their job, you know, because sooner or later you'll find a job, but you don't want to be waiting tables all your life if you've got a degree. So the large majority of respondents actually were not just in employment, but in employment which was satisfactory, which satisfactory in the sense that it satisfied their ambitions. It satisfied their ambitions, and it was somehow they felt that the fact that they had not just a degree, but that particular degree that was useful in helping them find a job. And the variety of jobs was also astonishing. I belong to a generation when graduates of the Faculty of Arts either became teachers or became civil servants, or went to work in the family business if they had one. But nowadays, I can say that those are only two still very, very popular career tracks. But you find art graduates today in places where you absolutely wouldn't imagine them to be.
Tell us some examples.
In businesses, in computer, whatever they call it, in journalism, in entertainment, in media of all sorts, in all its manifestations, in tourism heritage, I mean the list is too long. I mean we got the main list of jobs that every department had, never mind the whole faculty, and I think for every department, you find about, let's say, 30 different kind of forms of employment. Mm-hmm. So, of course, today's economy is very much more complex than it used to be 20, 30, 40 years ago. Opportunities are available for those who are ready to take them up. You know, when we talk of students or graduates finding jobs, the bottom line is that the ones who have studied hard, the ones who have got the better degree, the better class of degree, will find the better job. So it's not only what you study, but also how much you study, how much interest, how much of those generic skills you take out with you, so that when you face the sometimes tough world of labor, then you are equipped to deal with it.
But the employers, I think, of late have come to appreciate those kinds of skills that the Faculty of Arts is giving the students more than perhaps it's the employers were before, because we often hear of employers who want the students to have more wide-ranging skills rather than very specific ones. And I think that's probably what they get from the Faculty of Arts, skill sets that can transpose.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, if you were to compress all these skills, I think the biggest one, the more comprehensive one, would be the ability to think, to analyze, to communicate your thoughts in a clear way, and to be adaptable, to be flexible. Our degrees, which are basically the Bachelor of Arts, the BA and the BA honors, the downside is that you're not going, you don't know what you're going to be at the end of it. You're not going to be an engineer, that's for sure. And you're not going to be a surgeon. But the upside is that you are extremely flexible. And if you have taken what you should have taken out of your degree, you are creative, you are adaptable, and therefore, if your preferred career path is blocked because there's no demand or whatever, you can move sideways and look for something else. And I think this is the secret of the high level of employability which we are seeing with our graduates.
And another thing that's come out in my conversations with some of your staff within the faculty is this idea of innovation. Innovation is normally associated somehow with scientific subjects, with computing and that kind of thing. Whereas quite often this word innovation in our chats came forward looking for new ways of looking at things, communicating that innovation, looking for, I don't know, an example would be in fine arts, looking, re-evaluating Maltese artistic heritage and looking at innovative ways of looking at them. So I think the word innovation can also be associated with the Faculty of Arts and not just with the sciences.
Well, I mean, innovation has been going on for centuries, not just in the sciences. Innovation has been going on in the humanities. I mean, even before the fast rate of technological development, which we have become accustomed to. The humanities include history, include literature, include archaeology, include history of art, and so on and so forth. Discovering the human being. This is all about the humanities, and there isn't actually, although there seems to be, but there isn't a very clear line between the sciences and technology and the humanities. When you turn on your television screen, the television is a product of technology, but the program that you see on it, the film, the whatever program you see, that is probably the product of the humanities. So one
blends with the other. Yes. And that brings me very neatly onto the next question I wanted to ask you, which is about the new degree that you're going to be offering to people, the Bachelor of Humanities, which is an innovative degree.
It is an innovative degree, yes. Of course, it's in parallel. It doesn't substitute the current BA and BA honours. It moves in parallel with them. Briefly, what we're doing is we are offering students who join this bee hums, it's like, imagine a bee humming. It's a degree in which the student chooses study units from wherever they want, from any department in the faculty. So whereas today, for the BA or BA honors, you are bound to a subject or two subjects at most. Here we're saying, look, this is all that we're offering, 16 departments, even more areas of study than those 16 departments. This is our repertoire. As long as you choose courses which are appropriate to the area you are in, then you can choose whatever you want. So who are we targeting here? We are targeting either mature students, the kind of person who has a job or doesn't want a job, and they want an education, but they would like to choose their portfolio for their education, because they know what kind of knowledge they want to embrace, and it's not all in one particular department. It's spread out over different departments, or else the person, the student, who knows exactly what she or he wants. The student, for example, who would like a job in tourism and says, okay, so what I want is to know enough history, but I'm more interested in the Knights of St. John because that's the bulk of our heritage. So I'll take those study units which have to do with that period. I'm not interested in foreign history, so I leave that out. But I'll take archaeology, I'll take history of art. I'm thinking maybe of targeting German tourists, so I take a few courses in German because I already know some German. And that person builds their own basket of study units and collects the number required. So it's a bespoke, tailored degree, but you tailor it yourself. Nobody is telling you how to tailor it. Or else the student who is thinking of maybe working with the European Union wants a bit of history, wants a bit of languages, because languages are important. Wants a bit of mathematics, because they ask you there when you take the examination. They want to make sure that you are numerate. Now, I'm mentioning mathematics here because we have made a provision that the student can take up to 25% of the degree of credits, even from outside the faculty. Now, in an ideal world, you should be able to study, say, history and computing, for example. But this is not an ideal world. But in practical terms, as long as the timetable permits, of course, that's always...
I was thinking it was a bit of a timetable nightmare.
Well, it's not, because the student will say, okay, these are the choices I want to make. The timetable permits me to take 80% of those study units, but not the other 20%. You know, so you have to be flexible also. So a student can actually move out of the Faculty of Arts for a while and take up to 25%, a quarter of the degree, from other faculties, from law, from theology, if you want, you know, from mathematics, from wherever. I can't say from medicine because I don't think they'll let you in. But this is the whole idea. Plus, we're also because we have in mind people who might already have businesses, or other responsibilities which have stopped them from joining a university course until now. We're also leaving it up to them whether they do it in 3 years, which is the standard full-time period, or in 6 years, 6 years or less. You know, you can spread it out over 6 years. It's possible with a degree like this because you are choosing your own study. And if you have a business and you think, you know, I can take lectures which take place in the afternoon but not in the morning, then it's really up to you. So it's maximum flexibility, and we hope to reach a constituency of students who until now have not chosen to come to the university, either because they don't have the time or because they haven't found their ideal course. This gives them an opportunity to create an ideal course. Not an ideal for you or for me, but an ideal for their needs.
So you're imagining that the clients for this course would be mature students?
Mature, or, as I said, people who know exactly what they want. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, we had a student who, in his intake, was the best student. He got the dean's list. He came first in all the graduates of his year. He knew what he wanted. He wanted to become an interpreter. This was the time when Malta was joining the European Union. He knew that he wanted to become an interpreter. From Marta Schlock, Derek, his name was. He chose two languages. I believe it was French and German. Now, if there was this possibility, he might have chosen another language, Arabic, for example, or Chinese. We teach all these things. As it happened, he had a choice of two. He's very successful. He's in Luxembourg now. Very good career that he has. So if you know what you want, and what you want is not something which we happen to be offering a dedicated program to, well, you make your dedicated program.
Sounds really fantastic. I'm sure a lot of people will be interested in it. I'm sure it will be very popular. In the last few minutes that we have, I think it's important that we also talk about some postgraduate programs that you have, both master's and eventually PhD offerings within the Faculty of Arts, because that the research really goes on there.
Well, let me say that historically, the Faculty of Arts has been the pioneer in postgraduate study. There was a time when, except for the Faculty of Arts and Faculty of Sciences, nobody offered a master's course. And that continues to be the case, that we are very much ahead in terms of our graduate population. We have moved on from the pure research degrees, master's degrees and PhDs, PhDs, by the way, we are the faculty which produces most PhDs consistently every year. Also because there's a long tradition there. But we've moved in terms of masters also to more taught courses. Most departments now have their own taught course in their subjects. We also have, we started this 2 years ago, an interdepartmental language departments participating in this called Literary Tradition and Popular Culture. And now the other non-language departments have been collaborating together, so as from this coming October 2014, we'll be offering a multidisciplinary course, a beautiful course, I think. It's going to be in a master's in Mediterranean studies, drawing on the long tradition of Mediterranean interest that this university has had and our faculty in particular. So that there we have the departments of history of art, archaeology, geography, anthropology, international relations, all these giving their best, their condensed best, to create this multidisciplinary master. So at the faculty we will have in place two interdisciplinary master's degrees. And then, of course, as I said, other departments like History of Art is offering a Master of Arts in Fine Arts, hopefully this October. I'm not going to go into specific departments because, as I said, most of them have some kind of a taught master's. What we're trying to do also is to be liberal here. And in the case of the taught masters, not the research master, but in the case of the taught masters, we're leaving the entry qualifications as liberal as possible, so that we see people moving even from one faculty to the next. We did this very successfully, for example, with the masters in translation and in interpreting, where a lot of our postgraduate students are in fact non-faculty, people coming from laws, people coming from management, and so on and so forth. So this is the way, of course, of the future, interdisciplinarity, inter-faculty cooperation, and so on and so forth.
We'll come to the end of our time. Thank you very, very much, Professor Dominic Fenech, Dean of the Faculty of Arts, for coming to talk to us about this very fascinating faculty. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-program li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.